tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Americans AfterBuzz After Show, Season 3, Episode 10, The Stingers. I am Adrienne Snow, and you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Miss Adrienne Snow. That's M-S-E-D-R-I-A-N-S-N-O-W. And this is the rest of my panel.
Matt Ritter. You can find me on Twitter at Matt Ritter 1 and YouTube, Matt Ritter Comedy.
Josh Richmond, of course, go to at Radio TFB on Twitter or go to joshrichmond.net for other goodies.
Ben Bateman, you can find me at Ben Bateman Media on Twitter and Instagram. How are you guys doing tonight?
Yeah, and as always, of course, please subscribe to us on YouTube, SoundCloud, iTunes. My accent just kicked in.
SoundCloud,
Texas. We really appreciate your feedback. We love hearing from you guys on the Twitter, on the YouTube, and everything. Want to give a special shout out to Lois Elfman. We always hear from you. So
yeah, you're awesome.
Yeah,
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 you give good comments. And yeah. Keep us honest.
Yeah, so we really appreciate that. On that note, we do have a guest. I just got the one moment. That will be on the show momentarily. We're just calling in right now.
Matt, you know what? Just Matt, stop Tindering. We're on the show.
He says the number isn't working, so let's.
Okay, so we'll give it a second.
You know, I just realized this episode is called Stingers, and we're after Buzz talking about stingers. How appropriate.
Yes,
this is
right?
Pretty good.
Talking into bees' bums and
yes,
stuff.
Yes, talking. This is where the stinger would be, usually.
Right there. Right?
On the subject of we will avoid technical difficulty discussion and let you.
Should I call
Tinder?
Him from my phone? What? He says the number that we gave him is not working. Do you know if this is the right number?
No, that's the wrong number.
Okay, because that's the number Phil gave me. So do you have the right number?
Phil misspelled it.
Yeah. All right, so what's the number?
I'll type it in.
Okay. So we do have our guest, Kelly O'Coyne, coming on. He plays Pastor Tim on the show.
Just a moment.
In just a minute. We're just got some technical difficulties. I've always wanted to do the sweaty balls stick. Sorry, I'm just killing time.
The sweaty balls sketch, for those that don't know, is not a sex sketch. It's Alec Baldwin on Saturday Night Live from years and years ago, and my name is Pete Sweaty, and I'm here to talk about my face.
Should we just run through the entire sweaty balls sketch right now?
They're delicious, like, baked goods that are Pete Sweaty and sweaty balls.
They're meatballs.
I like dipping them.
Yeah.
Got
some sauce.
It's a great sketch.
Really good. You just
very
dunk
funny.
It right
you
in.
You just dunk it right in there. I like dunking them in my tea sometimes.
Oh, your balls.
All right, guys, let's stop talking balls. Start talking Kelly O'Coyne.
Okay. So, ladies and gentlemen, we have a really special guest. You may know him as Pastor Tim on The Americans. You may know him as Gary Semper from House of Cards or 46 other credits on IMDb, which I think qualifies him for the Character Actor Hall of Fame. Thank you for calling in, Kelly O'Coyne.
Hey, how you doing? That's a great introduction.
I wanted to ask you about that. Do you consider yourself a character actor? That's how the exterior, you know, the external sort of, you know, reputation when you get that many credits under your belt. But what do you call yourself?
I mainly just so because I'm a working actor right now. But yeah, I'd say as soon as I lost my hair, I was pretty much a character actor.
That's when it happens. The hair starts thinning, and all of a sudden
you wouldn't be able to tell that by this particular show, obviously, with that little mop I got on my head.
Yeah.
Do you get to start hanging out then with Stephen Tobolowsky and J.K. Simmons? Is there like a character actor bar that you get to?
You
gotta
listen to God's ears, my friend.
Yeah.
Do they give you a silly wig, or is that straight up? You've grown out. You mentioned your silly mop just now.
No.
This is that's a wig. Yeah.
So Kelly, thank you so much for calling in. I wanted to jump right into this episode because it was a pretty bombshell one. You kind of blew up everybody's world.
That was crazy. That was a great episode. I didn't actually. I was there for the table read, but I still was. You know, when Paige was getting the news, I was getting a little teary. She's so good, right?
Oh my god, really is good.
Jesus. Yeah, it was exciting.
And did you? I mean, at what point do you know the storylines? I mean, is this like a week before, or how long do you have to prepare for that?
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Big moment, sort of.
Well, there's some episodes that I don't know until I watch them on TV. If I'm not a part of the of that particular episode, I won't be at the table read necessarily. So I won't see the scripts. I actually don't know exactly what happens in the final episode of the season, for instance.
So I'm
on pins and needles too.
Yeah, I think I want to ask for all the AfterBuzz fans of the Americans out there, what's your angle, Pastor Tim?
Yeah, what's going on with you?
You can't just be
world
a man of God.
You've
got to be
what
up to something.
No, it's an interesting. It is an interesting character because I actually think when I first got the part, when I first auditioned for it, I didn't know that it was going to be more than just one episode. Hmm. I don't know if they knew. I don't know how far ahead they were writing at that point. But and then I kept trying to figure out if I was KGB or FBI, and I suppose anything is possible. But I'll say that one of the things I like about it, it's sort of radical on mainstream TV today. It seems to be very much a religious man who is not a Tea Partier and someone who just seems to actually honestly care. Mm. About his community, and that actually seems like a somewhat radical portrayal of the clergy these days.
Right, it's actually a really sympathetic portrayal of Christianity. You know, you're not a pastor with like a dark secret. You're not a pastor who's like secretly like a child molester being moved from place to place, or has like some sort of Republican agenda. You're just like actually like a good guy and a community leader.
But I do think it's funny that because we've been so trained to expect that, that when you say the line in the episode, Paige, she needs to be treated more like an adult. The hair stands up a little bit on your arm. You're like, oh, that's what that means. But you know, I don't know if this really is. It could just be face value.
And oh my God, the focus pulling on that episode blew me away. Like when they, you know, I said my little thing, and then it focuses right on. I mean, I laughed out loud when I saw when it focused on Phil.
Yeah, moves right to
the for that.
He could have slit your throat right there in that travel agent office.
Yeah, God, eyes shooting daggers.
I was just going to say the one interesting thing. Also, my father was in politics when I was growing up in this era. I was actually a little older than you guys. I was actually Paige's age during this specific era, and I lived in Washington D.C. So it's sort of a mind. I don't know if I can say that on the show, but a mind trip. but I remember when my dad he's a very liberal Democrat, and when he was campaigning, some of his best speeches and some of his most adamant supporters were these progressive churches and the pastors and the flocks at these particular churches. And I just think that's what I knew of the church when I was growing up. And we're not religious people, but.
You know, I think that's still true now. I think I think like the Catholic Church, for instance, gets behind a ton of progressive causes. It's just it's not really the image that you see in the media as much.
Yeah, and they're not the loudest. You know, the Mickey Wheels will get the attention.
It seems like when you are playing a character of any kind that has a staunch religious position, a lot of the decisions as that character are based on. Obviously, it could be a religion that you're into in real life, but I mean, it's a character you're playing on television, so I don't know if that is. Have you played a religious character in the past where you've had to connect with something on that deep level and take that leap of sort of faith as a character before?
That's actually an interesting question that I don't know why I'm blanking on. That's fast. I don't... You know what? I think the only other time I ever played a specifically... Twice in plays. I played one in a play called Coils, which was about the Marquis de Sade, and I went crazy. The Marquis made me go crazy, which was fascinating. And then another one in high school. So no, I mean, essentially not. I haven't done that. I used to audition for them a lot, and there was a period of time when it was always, sadly, it was always priests who turned out to be pedophiles.
Right.
I never got them, so I guess I wasn't creepy enough.
That's a good thing. That's a good thing.
Yeah, right? I think so, in retrospect. I wanted the job at the time, but I think maybe,
I love that story. I love that story on your IMDb page about your dad's campaign. About that, was that your first acting role in his commercial campaign?
Oh, that was probably my first on screen, or at least one of my first on screen roles. You mean like the commercial?
Yeah. Can you tell our viewers and listeners about that?
What's that?
Can you tell our listeners and viewers about that?
Okay, yeah. My dad was, he is still a liberal Democrat, but he was a congressman from the 1st District of Oregon, and during the whole Reagan revolution, all the Democrats, and it's still the case today, but we're being painted as loose spending, big spending Democrats. And to counter that, one of the ways they countered that was to put me in an ad. I was being forced to wash my car, and I was looking at the camera, smirking and talking about how cheap my dad was. Like, he always asked, can I get an extra pound of free air at the gas station, and something about discount chewing gum and whatnot. And it was really fun at the time. I don't know if the commercial was any good, but we won, so I guess it helped. But yeah, I think that was one of my first TV or on-screen things.
So part of the reason I love Pastor Tim on this show is because, you know, the Jennings are such cool customers, but you're like one of the few characters who can really get under their skin. You know, just by kind of like being a normal good guy, but it just happened, you know, just happening to be Christian, which really rubs them the wrong way. You know, Philip, you know, got so aggressive towards you in season two, and you were so kind of unflappable in the face of that. Don't you feel like this pastor would have, like, trepidation going back and still kind of, you know, poking this bee's nest?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we've talked about that a little bit, and a lot of it just has to do with the amount of time that has gone by. Mm-hmm. And there were overtures, like, Philip and Elizabeth made the first overtures in the next time you saw me, so that it sort of calmed things down a little bit.
Right.
I mean, that's an open question. I just decided that the way Pastor Tim has to approach these things is to assume that the approach this relationship is just to assume the best, you know? It's kind of, yeah, it is, that is an interesting, it's always in the back of my mind, even when I showed up at the, we were shooting the scene where I showed up at their travel agency.
Right.
The episode tonight was like, you know, this is the first time, I was saying to Matthew, this is the first time we've been in a room alone together since, you know, that time.
Yeah.
But yeah, it just, time heals all wounds, I suppose.
I think it's funny that you definitely, as you said, as Josh said, you get to get under their skin so well. You almost have this like plethora of lines you've uttered in the show where you give them,
yeah.
And it almost like if I was playing the character, I would not be able to stop smirking because the reaction you get is just so. It's just they're so annoyed, and you're such a smiley character, you're so happy. It almost seems like it would be too easy to play it. You know what I mean? You get the best. You get some of the best moments. The dinner table scene about the baptism is like one of my favorite moments of the whole season.
Yeah. That long, long pause where nobody knows what to say.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm going to get baptized. Excuse me, did you say that? Yeah.
You killed them with kindness is what you did.
And then Noah's like, that's great. That's great. It's such a good
song. I feel like I have to meet Stan Beeman now at some point. Maybe he'll come to my church, something.
It seems totally within the realm of possibility.
Totally possible. You brought up a point of when you first auditioned, you didn't know if maybe you'd be KGB or FBI. Do you think that there could be a wonderful plot twist of you being more than just a preacher?
Sure, yeah.
That would be
maybe
fun.
I'm such a good agent that I can, No, I didn't think that necessarily until I got the word that they were going to bring me back the second time. And I thought, maybe there's, you know, the whole first season I was in, which was season two, I kept wondering if the next script was going to be the bombshell where I find out how, like, what a badass I really am, you know?
Yeah.
Double O character.
You never know. Everyone's got a little card up their sleeve. You never know.
It sounds like you're a pretty big fan of watching The Americans. Do you watch any other television shows that you cling to on a weekly basis?
You know, my two favorite shows, I have a bunch. I watch House of Cards and two sittings probably every season. So
right.
That's definitely one of my favorites. But my the other two that are currently running now, Justified and House and The Americans, the two FX shows, two Graham Yost shows too.
Company man, it sounds like.
Yeah. What's that?
I said you're a company man.
I guess I am, but really, I mean, and my wife particularly loves Justified too. She actually brought me to it 5 years ago. And I love Louis too. I'm if I can campaign here to get a part on Louis someday.
Yeah,
this is the place.
We definitely hook people up. You know, it's got to be a little bit surreal. I mean, you are on sort of two of the really hottest shows on, you know, TV, on TV right now. It's got to be somewhat of a surreal feeling for you.
Yeah, it's a, I mean, it's a wonderful feeling. I'd be an idiot if I did, if I wasn't aware that these are two of the best, at least in my estimation, two of the best written, produced, acted shows on TV. And I do feel incredibly honored. There was a chunk of time when they were shooting at the same time, and House Cruckshot shoots down in Baltimore. And actually, The Americans couldn't be closer. It shoots 20 minutes from my house in Brooklyn, which is pretty awesome.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
But the two casting directors work very well together, and they worked out the schedule, so we didn't... they were doing going back and forth with all the PA or the ADs, and we didn't really have to stress about it too much. But so I have to thank them for that. But it is, and it's wonderful. I hope it keeps going. But it's really been a great ride.
Yeah, no, I mean, you've been cast at these like amazing shows so far. Is there like one dream role or type of role that you've always wanted to play but haven't had the chance to play yet? Or like, what would you want to play on TV that you haven't done yet?
Other than Louis.
Man.
Other than Louis.
Other than what?
Other than Louis.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. I want to play Louis. Yeah. I want to recast that damn show. Put me in it. You know, it's a great question. I actually, for some reason, the first thing that, before you even finished that sentence, of Al Swearengen on Deadwood popped into my mind.
Oh, wow. What a good character that was.
Yeah, David Milch dialogue. You could just have a ball with that.
Yeah, you know, one of those. I'm gonna stick with that.
I like that.
You know, the anti-hero that's so complicated, and you get a lot of stillness, a lot of. He can also go nuts. That's it.
Who knows? Maybe I'll get
final answer.
Maybe you'll get cast in Walking Dead. You'll be like a modern day John Cazale. Everything you do is a hit. It's a good one. I have one more question for you.
Sure.
I want you to answer this totally honestly. Was the double behind the back crossover last night that Steph Curry had against Chris Paul the highlight of the year? Was it the number one highlight?
No, because it wasn't a Portland Trailblazer highlight. It'd be the highlight of the year, but it was not without its charm.
Then the highlight has probably been one of Dame Lillard's 3-point buzzer beaters. I think he's had a few.
He's had some good ones.
No, that was a pretty smooth move. I only saw it in highlights because I was actually this time. I was in Portland the last three nights with my dad watching a couple Blazer games. So I only saw it in highlights, but there were some pretty great LaMarcus Aldridge highlights over the weekend that I might put up there.
You guys will be a tough out in the playoffs. I'll look forward to the series.
Yeah, definitely.
Before we let you go, unless you guys have other questions, I wanted to just give you a chance to sell yourself out here for everybody. Where can we find you? What are you working on other than this show?
Oh, sure. Well, I would have said I was just on Forever last night, so I guess that doesn't really count. I'm going to be doing, hopefully I'll be back on these shows next season, but you never know what happens, I guess. I'm going to play a play. I know, I just was like, I got to put out a little tease. Anyway, I'm also doing a play in New York over the summer, Manhattan Theater Club, called
Nice.
Good Stock, if anyone's in New York. And that's it for now. Oh, I'm going to be shooting a. Right now, it's called the Untitled James Marston Project, but Danny Glover's in it, a bunch of interesting people. So I'll be shooting that soon.
And James Marston.
Yes.
Very cool. Well, we'll have to set up a little a basketball game then at some point out here. A hoop in the backyard.
That sounds good. Can I get a ringer in, though? I think I've got some years on you, so...
Anybody you want that's on one of the shows that you're working on.
Awesome.
Perfect.
Kevin Spacey, if you can get Kevin Spacey out here for a little...
Absolutely.
Oh, he would be unflappable, right?
Yeah.
He's a crunch time guy.
Although he kind of throws like a girl in the backyard and has the cards.
I was watching the UConn game. Come on, like, that's the... They got some great female players.
That's true. This is very true. All right. Well, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
And where can everyone find you on the social media, Kelly?
Oh, I've got a Facebook page, but on Twitter, I'm Brooklyn Blazer, actually, without the vowels. So Brooklyn Blazer.
Brooklyn Blazer. Blazer.
Wonderful.
Right. Exactly.
Oh, yes. Well, thank you.
And I love your podcast, guys.
Oh, thanks.
I'm happy to be on it. You guys, the conversation is always so fun.
Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Yeah, no, thank you so much for calling in and you know, taking time to talk with us about the show and just your life. We really appreciate that.
Absolutely.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Of course.
Thank you.
Enjoy the rest of your night.
Bye,
thank
you.
Take care.
You as well.
Bye.
So now that we're diving into the episode itself, holy crap! Oh, what happened this week?
What an ending.
Oh, boy. Okay, well, first thoughts. I guess we should go ahead and start with that, and then we'll jump in.
Bombshell.
Yeah.
My first thoughts were they were a little less prepared than I thought they would be for that moment.
Did you get the sense for just a quick second that they had a backup plan? Like, if this happens early, we're going to have this lie that we're going to tell?
No, I got the sense, like I just said, I just got the sense that they really hadn't expected it to be then, and they just were thrown off.
Of course not.
You know?
I didn't expect it to be then. Yeah. I didn't think she was that savvy. It'd be real.
Yeah.
That said, though, I feel like Elizabeth's plan all along has kind of been to, like, leave Paige the trail of breadcrumbs. Like, I think she wanted Paige to kind of at some point figure it out herself or call them out on it. Maybe. I don't think it was ever going to be like, sit down, Paige, we need to tell you something, no suspicion whatsoever. I think it always kind of had to come from her.
Mm. Okay. Interesting.
I think it sticks better that way almost, you know? Like, now that Paige has kind of discovered it herself, it feels like something she did. Like, on some psychological level, it looks like it's her fault.
I think it's more dangerous that way, but what do you think, Ben?
My first thoughts on the episode in general were that I didn't think it was that great of an episode other than that stuff. I thought that whole segment was awesome. I found myself like a little less interested in most of the rest of the episode, but obviously it was balanced out by a huge payoff.
I mean, a lot of the other storylines, they were kind of like check-in moments, you know?
Yeah. I think with this episode, because it is episode 10, they were doing a lot of things where it was just kind of like, and we're going to start tying everything up so that we can kind of get into like the juiciness of the season finale.
Right.
Yes.
Right. Like a lot of those storylines had to have their second to last.
Because I think there were like
moments.
Right.
Yeah.
That counted like eight different stories, six different storylines.
Yeah. We spent a little time with everybody, and maybe we should just talk about some of that stuff before we get into the big juicy
stuff. Yeah, we will. Yeah.
I mean, I was just going to say, well, I mean, luckily it's probably a little shorter of a show today because obviously we had an awesome interview. So, but it's nice that, you know, most of those things are just little buttons because we probably mostly want to talk about Paige. I will say, and I know I said it last week, she's my favorite character on the show. She's the person whose scenes I enjoy the most. What are you looking at me like?
What? I was just like,
and I thought she absolutely knocked it out of the park.
Is it pandering to say my favorite character is Pastor Tim?
My favorite character on the show is the woman from the last episode. What was the? I'm blanking right now.
What?
The incredible woman from the last episode who had to...
Oh, right.
Rose.
Oh, Rose. Betty.
Betty.
Yeah, amazing. But in general, my
favorite character is the male robot.
I love Paige. I think she's fantastic. I think she killed it in the scene.
Play favorites. Okay.
Oh, fine.
Everyone's amazing.
Great. Holly Taylor, is that the actress?
Yeah,
she did an excellent job tonight. I will say she did an excellent job tonight.
We have to get her on the podcast.
I tweeted at her earlier. I was excited.
She was
tweet,
terrific.
Tweet. All right.
And actually, I really loved Henry's beats this episode, too, and it was nice to see a little bit more of him.
That was kind of the most he's done.
Yeah,
I
he hasn't gotten a lot of lines.
Yeah.
He had a lot of...
He's in puberty.
Really.
You hear that little voice crack?
Yeah.
See that little... That perfectly curated stash of magazine photos.
We were all laughing. You were like, you guys are gross.
Wife.
No, I'm just... It was just kind of... I just thought... I guess for me... I figured he'd have like better quality stuff.
No, there's like that.
It's 1983.
And
is it really like
I used to have to do the same thing, rip out a page here.
Aww.
Rough times.
In those days, you know, with no internet, I mean, that's the equivalent of like, well, we won't get into that conversation.
And also I figured that he would, it was just funny that, like, his top pick was, you know, his neighbor's wife. I'm like, that's very cliche, but I guess it's true.
I think it's totally true. That's, you know, the person in your neighborhood is the person you kind of obsess over.
No. We're very blessed to be living in the internet age. Let's just say.
Let's just move on.
Oh, guys.
My grandfather had to do that to sneeze.
Cheer down. Hormones. Summertime. Okay, on that note. Shall we go into the Russians? Let's just group them all together.
The Russians.
Zenaida. Zenaida. Zenaida is a double
star. She's a double agent. You know, like we said about Stan just being a middling, you know, is he good? Is he bad at his job?
Actually,
it's like, I don't know. Whose job is it to check the bathroom?
Yeah, it's his, but she did it after he checked. He should have checked again after. But he was right to suspect her. He just has to have better follow-through. I think that's the big issue with Stan. He just doesn't have enough follow-through.
He gets distracted. He's like, yeah. I was on this Zeta thing, and now I'm kind of off it.
I think he's kind of insecure. If he had more, if he had higher self-esteem, maybe he would have stayed on it.
He straight up destroyed that bathroom earlier in the season,
excellent.
Remember? And looking for something. And he just gave up. Yeah. He's like he had the great suspicion. Yeah.
Well, they ran a mission though last episode with him and Oleg to scare her into admitting that she was a spy, and she stood pat.
Right.
Dude. So she kind of dodged the bullet.
No,
so he's
that's
not really
true.
Suspecting
she's
her
still
anymore.
A Russian spy.
Yeah.
Okay. Come on now. He's been well. Let's all I gotta say is Stan has been living across from two Russian spies for like 3 years. So
exactly.
Oh, Stan. You get this close, and then you doubt yourself. Have better confidence, my friend. Have better confidence.
Look under the sink.
Look under the sink after she leaves the restroom.
What do you think was on there?
Oh, it was the...
It was the note you saw later on. Yeah.
It was the note that she gave to Resident Turok.
Right. Now we know she is codenamed Willow with the Resident Turok.
Yes.
But it's like I was talking about last episode. There's so many crosses and double crosses going on with the Russians that even they are getting confused.
Yeah.
And they're kind of screwing up with their own plans.
They said it's compartmentalized. Right?
Exactly.
So not everybody there knows
what's going on,
missions or what, which is how you have to keep it.
Right.
But sometimes it messes you up.
Right. So Oleg doesn't really know what's going on. So Oleg screws up this other operation he had no idea about.
See, it only works if everybody is totally in line, which nobody ever is.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
That whole system doesn't work at all.
Right.
They wouldn't expect Oleg to be reaching out to Stan or Stan to be reaching out to Oleg, you know, trying to figure this out. So that's an interesting point. And then jumping on to the whole thing with Nina and the scientist and how that seed's kind of being planted with Oleg, where it's Oleg's responsibility to get pictures of the bomber to get to the scientist who's being seduced by Nina, and Oleg doesn't know, which is so complicated.
Yeah.
It's very complicated. I thought one of the funny elements of this episode was just men are stupid, and when women are hot, they're even dumber over and over again.
Wait, say that again. When men are stupid and when women are hot, they're even dumber? Is that what you're saying?
No, when women are hot, men are dumber.
That's basically what I'm getting at. I'm basically just getting at that men, like, and this show likes to just sell that, like, if the woman is hot, the male will fall for it. Like, you know, it's the same thing when you saw Elizabeth in the hotel room. And the like.
That was real easy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, not to say that Matthew Reese hasn't had plenty of scenes where he's charmed a woman in the episodes this season, but
do you think Baklanov is being seduced by Nina yet? Because I don't think that's quite happened yet.
I definitely got, there was the look. He gave her the look.
I think he gave her the look of more of, oh, this is someone I can communicate with because she speaks English,
right.
And that she's also lived in America. So I think he found that kind of camaraderie in it. I don't know if he's going to be as easy to seduce.
I don't think
I'm
so.
I'm actually not going to male bash, and it's usually like what I enjoy doing. But at this point, I'm going to say, you guys aren't all dumb. Sometimes you do think with your little one and not your big one. But, you know, it's, I think at this point, I wouldn't say that the theme was that all men are dumb if there's a hot woman. Because if that were the case, then, God, I can't believe I'm going to say this, then Philip would probably already have sealed the deal with the Kimmy situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know she's underage, but she still is like a hot, tight body thing.
Yeah.
She passes out real easily, that Kimmy.
Yeah, she does.
She's 15. Like,
she's asleep pretty early.
I can hold my liquor at 15. Yeah.
But something I loved about that Nina scene is that Nina is spying for the Russian government, but at the same time she's being spied on by the Russian government. Like you could see, like people, like the superiors, like kind of giving her eyes, like, what are you doing?
It's the secretary woman walking past, and like
again, the left hand doesn't know what the right hand is doing. It's kind of like this. It's kind of the thing that like brought about the downfall of the Soviet Union is that, like, nobody knows what's going on, and everybody's trying to double cross each
lack
other
of
and
communication. Ends most relationships.
Yeah, completely.
So, So on that note, then there was also just a slight blip of Yusuf and the Afghan group. So, which kind of ties back, because we can jump into Kimmy and Yusuf because they're kind of tied together.
Sure.
Of they're bringing Yusuf back, and what was the whole deal with the hotel? I didn't quite understand why they were putting needed that inn at the hotel. Did anyone else?
I didn't know.
It seems like something they set up in this episode that will pay off in a future episode.
Yeah, like he'll be staying there later or something.
Yeah,
like
she's
that.
He's coming back later.
Like they're halfway there. But I guess the information they discovered on the tape at Kimmy's house.
Which and I couldn't quite make out.
I don't think we were really supposed to. I think the main point was that Yusuf is
coming
back.
That was the main
And that it ties into information that the CIA is giving the ISI.
Right.
So they're setting. I think all of that was just setting everything up. I think they also just brought back Kimmy because they needed to touch on Kimmy. Thank goodness they didn't do any more touching than that.
Yeah.
I just don't
But it still brings up some questions for me, like, because we haven't seen Kimmy the last few episodes.
Yeah.
We've got to assume that Jim has been keeping up this relationship with Kimmy this whole time, and there's stuff we haven't seen.
I'm just going to assume she's on spring break. And that she was with her family.
You also just have to assume, like, they...
There was that picture of her with her family. That's right. So yeah, maybe she was on vacation.
I think that was more of them tying on to the whole conversation that Philip had with Pastor Tim about family vacation together
for sure,
and all that. You know, they do those kind of plant things.
Right. They also... And they the whole, like, surrogate parent theme in this episode that was running throughout
big,
it.
Big
there was
theme.
Definitely, like, the picture, and I'm your... And then, yeah. I don't think that they... I don't think they've slept together yet. I think...
I don't think so either.
It's happened yet.
But I'm just curious what Kimmy feels about the relationship at this point, if she's cool just keeping it chaste. Because at one point, she completely was not.
She said, "You're the only one that cares about me." So it seems like she's in a good place with him.
Yeah, it seems like with the whole... When he did that whole thing, I'm finding religion and all that kind of stuff. That kind of sold her
Diffused
on.
Diffused her.
Yeah.
Slightly.
Cooled her hormones.
Yeah. I definitely thought they were doing the thing. Like, for a second there when he was in the bedroom, I thought that she was like, "I'm going to go to the bathroom for a second."
Oh, I thought so too.
I was like, that's not what this episode should be about.
No. For a second, I thought it was going to be the whole... what's the Bill Murray movie where the girl walks out? The Broken Flowers?
Yeah, oh yeah, that's right.
And the chick just walks out and she's naked?
Yeah. Oh, right.
And then they just do some crazy...
I thought you were talking about the Varsity Blues, maybe.
or perhaps Tootsie.
James Van Der Beek.
There was Tootsie.
A lot of cultural... By the way, this, I think, was the most littered with cultural touchstone moments, like Tron.
Yeah.
We had Eddie Murphy,
that
Mr. Robinson's Neighborhood.
Yeah.
Eddie Murphy
was
the first
great.
Thing.
Hilarious, like, that accent.
This is 1982.
Yeah, The Verdict was on the poster.
Yeah.
The Verdict.
Tootsie, by the way, about a man in disguise. Thematic.
Tron is about a guy who ends up trying to fight for the oppressed programs inside of a video game.
Totally true. And real subtle, but in the scene where Zenaida was putting the note in the bathroom, the music you could hear in the background was the theme to the movie The Sting.
Ooh, is that why they called it?
That could be part of why. I also think it's because what Pastor Tim and Paige were kind of running on the Jennings was kind of, they had kind of their own little sting going as well.
Wait, they didn't play da na 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 na.
That's what they, yeah.
The Entertainer.
The Entertainer.
It's called The Entertainer.
Oh, okay.
I don't really know what the significance of The Verdict is because he's a... Yeah, I don't
have
really
to look into that. I'll have to wiki that one and come back next week for an answer.
It's a great movie.
To go back to that, to kind of touch on just the whole idea of surrogate families, and then we'll go into Paige, but. Stan and Henry. That was a really interesting dynamic
really
they decided to do, where you know they kind of had Henry. I don't know. I feel like Henry's kind of like conning Stan because he wants to see more, get another picture of his wife.
It sort of seems like it.
Henry was like, "Mrs. Beeman's coming over later, right?"
Right. I just kind of get that feeling, or maybe it is the feeling of him not feeling that connected to his own father.
I really do think that's what's going on. I feel I mean, I feel like both Paige and Henry are like, you guys, our parents are so disconnected from us.
Yeah.
Paige has found this other surrogate father figure. Henry hasn't really found that. Stan, meanwhile, is also, you know, incredibly lonely.
Yeah.
There's kind of a connection forming there.
It makes sense that Stan and Henry would find each other because they're just kind of like lonely people in the show who don't really have anyone that
Stan's not connected
to
his own son as much anymore.
Exactly.
And he was talking in a couple episodes ago about how it was so much simpler when they were younger.
Yeah.
You know what? I also think that because, you know, Paige was on the verge of what just happened this whole time, they have had so much emotional investment in her. I feel like not just that we haven't seen Henry, I think they've been neglecting Henry.
Yeah. Which is interesting once Paige discovers. Did you have any comments on Stan and
Henry? I was just going to say that I think that they're lonely and that there's obviously a plot device here hidden in the Henry relationship. I also think Henry's kind of a little shit, and that's... I don't really think that he's...
What?
Well, hey. I wrote that I think Henry might be... Okay.
I have a prediction.
I have a prediction.
We can talk about it later.
But so let's go ahead and get into Paige.
Oh, wait, really quick before we get into Paige, because it's one thing with Stan. The thing that happened at the end of the episode.
Oh, yeah.
The Martha suspicion.
Oh, yeah.
I just wanted to touch on it really quickly because they definitely gave you one of those. They threw us a little bit of a bone. What's going to happen? Mm. And you wonder because he gets those weird suspicions and he's very often right.
But has no follow through.
Yeah.
By the way, I did love that it was like an iTwitch that gave away Martha. I love that.
Yeah.
You know, like this little iTwitch.
Are you thinking of someone? No.
Right. That was that was really, that was just really cool. You know, as always, this show is shot through the eyes.
Yeah.
And but look, at the same time, Stan might be suspicious of Martha. I'm pretty sure Taffet and Agent Gadd and company are suspicious of Stan.
Oh, Adderholt. Right. And all of them. Yeah.
So,
do you manage Agent Gadd's pen collection?
Exactly. So even if Stan says, I think Martha might be a spy, they could just say, oh, you're deflecting attention away from yourself.
Well, it is something where they don't really know that much about Martha.
Right.
They don't know too much about her personal life. When she left to go deal with
they
don't know her family. She doesn't talk about those type of things. That would make you suspicious. It was also the thing leading into this that eventually found out Elizabeth and Philip with Paige. You know, they didn't have those normal things that people discuss in their life.
Yeah.
Right.
And that is suspicious.
It is. Before we get to Paige, I just wanted to bring up one other tiny little because I think it's important. I think that moment where Gabriel gave him the choice of Philip's choice of forcing his son to come back from Afghanistan, and it just really brought into, you know, clarity, I think, Philip's position towards his kids, which is like wanting them to have a choice. I think that's sort of where he's coming from, which is why he didn't, or maybe he was thinking that this will make him more, I don't know what you guys think, did that make him more beholden? Do you think that he was thinking like, oh, well, if I say I want him back, then I now owe?
I think it's partly that he didn't, not beholden, but that he didn't want to control his children's lives, because obviously his son made that choice.
Yeah.
But with that said, it was also interesting because then you see that Philip is still a soldier serving his country, and that he's still loyal.
It's also
to
a test, maybe, too.
Russia.
Partly.
Yeah, it could be.
And I think Philip just doesn't want to do any of Gabriel's mind games anymore at this
think
point.
So?
Yeah. He's just like, oh, you know what? Anything you're telling me, I'm just going to like try to ignore it as much as possible.
If you're involved, it's probably shenanigans.
It's just been interesting to see that change for Philip to act more like the soldier and for Elizabeth to ask for the favor. So,
if that even happened.
Well, it did.
Oh, we know it did. Oh, she said it last week.
Yeah, she said it last week when she was talking about
Gabriel. Oh, that's
right.
Okay, I was thinking for a second. I'm like, is he
playing
him right now?
No, he wasn't playing him. Yeah. She did ask, like, if there was anything that could be done.
That's right.
So, on that note, shall we go into Paige?
The Paige explosion.
I love the lead-in line. You guys are trying to turn me into travel agents?
Oh, yeah.
That's
perfect.
That was a
and
good
then
line.
They pan to Elizabeth, and you just see her laugh, and they kind of hold it for
a bit.
Right. I was like, that's cute.
But look, you know, those initial scenes, first the first scene of Pastor Tim, and then the scene when Paige just randomly shows up at the travel agent's office, didn't seem to kind of out of place at first, but only after watching the entire episode you realize, like, they're trying to, like, get dirt on Philip and Elizabeth. The two of them are kind of working together to try to figure out what's going on.
She did kind of mention that she just doesn't know anything about her family. And I gotta give Paige a lot of credit for even picking up on that. As a teenager, I was at one point a young female teenager. A young lass. And I didn't, lass's guy. But I didn't care that much at that time about, you know, my parents as individual adults.
Right.
I didn't see them as that way. It was a very selfish time. So for her to kind of to be aware of, like, this is odd or this is changing, or like to be so aware of how her parents interact as individuals was very interesting.
But at the same time, I think that's a very normal coming of age thing to kind of realize my parents aren't the people they've been presenting to me my entire life. They're probably keeping secrets from me.
But it's one thing to have that realization. Like I think we've kind of touched on this before. The moment you realize that your parents are human and that they're prone to all the flaws of humanity. It's another to have that realization and then go, something is wrong. Well, what's and actually call them out on it. You know,
that is true.
I think for somebody her age, it was a pretty impressive thing to put together. And I was actually thinking about it because I have a friend whose parents were spies and they got arrested for spying.
Whoa.
I don't want to get into all the details, but I feel like I know with a pretty high degree of certainty that he didn't know. And he was in his 20s, and he didn't figure it out, and he's a super smart person.
Yeah.
And it was happening for his entire life.
So it's very perceptive of
her. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
It's not something
that
most teenagers will pick up on.
I don't think they would.
Or if they do, they won't ever say anything
about
it.
That said, I think the last thing in the world she expected was for them to say, we grew up in the Soviet Union and we're spies. I think she thought it would be something like, we have a criminal past or something like that.
Something a little bit
more. A little bit more down to earth.
Let me ask a question. So they're at home. They're about to have dinner. Phone rings. Lisbeth answers the phone. She says, "Oh, this is Mrs. Jennings, right? Or is that what she says, Jennings?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's for you." And he says, "Oh, you know, Lola, okay, this is right. Okay, I got to go to the office, TPS reports, whatever he references. It's not that, but it's something similar." Who's calling the house? Who's talking to? It's not Kimmy. So he has
no. It's their operators that they have.
So he has plans to already go to the party with Kimmy. That's what we're supposed to
do. No. So what they do, because they've talked about this before, it's somebody who calls and is usually like, "Hi, I'm from Columbia Records. Would you like to subscribe to this?" And everything they're saying is a code.
Right.
So, you know, basically, it could be somebody where it is they sound like they're calling from the travel agency, but that's code for you need to meet with Kimmy tonight for this and that.
How does Kimmy ever call?
They don't. They have someone tailing. They have someone just like, or we need to get the tape. They have just people working in operation. It has nothing to do with individual Kimmy, like, or there is some way where she's able to channel information to him. I just forget. I don't know how they
she's able to get in touch with him somehow. I was just trying to figure how would that work without cell phones.
She probably calls his voicemail.
She probably leaves a voicemail at his other house,
his workhouse or something.
Yeah, and that's automatically patched through immediately. Probably to wherever.
Yeah, and they tell him she's on the message.
Nonetheless, you know, their lives must seem really hollow to, like, an outsider looking in. Like, they don't seem like very good travel agents. They are just always leaving in the middle of the night randomly. Mm. They don't have any family in the area.
Yeah. Yeah.
I could see why Paige would get extremely suspicious.
Do you think you would figure it out? That sounds like you're pretty cocky. You feel like you would get it.
I
would get it.
I think I would know something was wrong. I don't think I would sit down and be like, "You're communist spies."
Right, I know it.
But I would figure out something is up
and
they're not
telling me. Confront? That's the thing that I think she said that takes it a step further. That's the impressive part.
No, but again, but I think they've done a really good job setting up Paige's character to the point that I believe this character would confront
her. She's grown a lot.
Yeah, definitely.
And she's got a very strong sense of right and wrong. She's almost kind of a goody two-shoes. I could see how she'd be like a really annoying kid to go to high school with.
Yeah, she'd be super.
We would not get along.
No.
No.
But she's totally the kid who would call her parents out on something like that.
So I was going to say quickly, because I know we do have to get predictions before we go. Do we each want to sound off with a final thought on the scene, maybe a favorite moment, and then get to predictions?
Oh, well, yeah. No, we definitely should get to predictions, but I did want to touch on just that final moment of Stan, when Stan walks into the room, and she realizes that this whole time that they've known this man, that her parents are spies,
and that they've been
like eating dinner with this man, and just that realization. What did you guys think of that just before we...
I thought that was amazing because it was her first glimpse of action, really. Mm-hmm. It was her first job. It's almost like her first assignment. Now you're in. Now you're fully, you know, at your dinner table is spying. I think it was amazing that such a normal, her whole world is now blown, really.
Like exactly. That's at that point,
like the Matrix scene, you know?
Exactly. At that point, just being a bystander, like you're now like complicit in this.
Yeah.
I thought that was amazing. I loved the tension. I loved the sort of him laughing and smiling moment. Like, it was just a great, felt like it was out of a movie. But the thing that I loved the most was actually in the scene when they're breaking the news to her, and they look at her and they go, "This is very, very important. If you tell anybody this, we will go to jail for good."
And there was just this mild pause when he said, "If you tell anyone about this," before he said, "We're going to go to jail." And I was like, "Oh my God, is he going to threaten to kill us?"
I thought so, too. I was like, really?
I know, I was like,
"Are we sick? What is going on?"
Yeah. Well, you know.
It's like, you better keep your mouth shut, kid.
Yeah.
What will happen?
On my paper here, I wrote, "We will go to jail for good" is greater than "we will kill them."
Yeah, but also, the phone call before we get to predictions, the phone call with Pastor Tim, she could have gone multiple ways. She sort of was in the middle there. She also didn't lie.
Yeah.
Right.
I thought she was going to... I was writing down, she's already fully in as a spy. I thought she was going to make up an excuse for them.
No.
And she didn't.
Yeah. It'll be interesting if they do... If she ends up confiding in anyone other than Stan, that it won't be good. I mean, they'll probably protect her, but it won't be good for whoever she confides in.
Not a good scene.
On that note, shall we go into predictions?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Next, should we start?
Oh man, you guys, I gotta start. Okay.
Oh wait, if you don't want to start,
I'll start.
Oh, go ahead.
Okay.
My prediction is that, so we have episode 11 now, right?
Uh-huh.
So somebody has to die. I'm gonna go with, I like you, Kelly. I'm going with Pastor Tim has to die.
Seems like it, right? He'll get told.
Yeah, I love you, Kelly, but you may have to die. Sorry, just a prediction. It means nothing.
See, I really think the moments where you think that Paige might crack, confide in Pastor Tim, confide in Stan, it seems so natural. You think like she's a teenager, she's got this strong sense of morality, she would crack. I don't think she's going to. Mm. I think she's going to make it through the entire season. By the end of it, not only will she have not told anybody, but she might actually start doing little things for them.
Mm. I don't trust teenagers.
No, you shouldn't.
I think Henry's relationship to Stan is going to be the tell that's going to out Paige. Mm. I don't even think that Paige will necessarily be straight with Henry. I don't even think she'll tell him. I think that'll be more like Henry can tell there's something weird going on, and he's going to say something to Stan about it.
Brothers and sisters know stuff about each
other. Yeah, that's how I think it's going to get outed.
Interesting. I don't think Henry is that observant, but I do think that Paige will want to confide in someone. And the person that she will choose to confide in will be her brother, because they're a family and he should know. And then from Henry going closer to Stan is how.
You guys are on the same.
Yeah. So I think eventually Stan's
But I think you're right about one thing. I think we can all agree. There's no way on earth a 16-year-old girl could not tell a single person about this.
Seems crazy.
Yeah.
Seems totally insane.
I don't know. I'm just like... For most characters, you're right. Again, I think they've done a really good job building this character. I believe she wouldn't.
I'm a 26-year-old man, and I
struggle
with that.
Nobody can tell anybody.
I don't think there's anyone. Like, if Elizabeth and Philip didn't have each other, I'm sure they would have to tell.
Every person has to tell one person their secret.
Right. Even Elizabeth told, what's his face? Drug dealer.
Gregory?
Yeah, but Gregory was part of the cause.
But he was not he didn't know, like, their life. He was brought into the cause, like, the way she brings in most people. But then she started to tell him, like, her actual life.
Yeah.
And she didn't kill him. So, yeah, I think it's going to... she's going to have to tell someone. I just think that's where it's going to go.
I'm so excited for these last three episodes.
It always gets so good in the last few episodes. Yeah, Americans always gets really good.
Yeah, really. Yeah.
So where can everyone find it?
You can find me at MattRitter1 on Twitter, MattRitterComedy on YouTube, and that's my website.
Guys, go to at Radio TFB on Twitter. Go to joshrichmond.net for more.
Ben Bateman Media, Twitter, Instagram. That's my sign.
And at Miss Adrian Snow, MSADRIANSNOW on Twitter and Instagram. Thank you guys so much for tuning in to the Americans After Show, and we will see you next Wednesday.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.